Hi, everyone. Welcome to the MRP Tech Podcast. This is episode 131. My name is Matt, and this is the weekly podcast discussing everyday tech for everyday people. And over the last week or so, I've been hanging out in the Discord room for the MRP Tech Podcast recently. It's a great place where a lot of the listeners of this show gather to talk about everyday stuff and also technology topics as well. And it's really fun to check in there daily and see what's going on with all the listeners of the show. So last week, I put out a message in the room to sort of give the members of the chat room an opportunity to give ideas for show topics. And I was curious what they were going to come up with. And there was a bunch of ideas that were given. And one of the things that I really liked was a show not talking about the good things about Linux, but the good, the bad, and the ugly. Before I get into that, some of the Discord members have been listening to maybe previous shows, and they've been sending direct messages to me via Discord. That's really fun too. So if you don't want to use the usual route of emailing me, which you can email me, mrptechreviews@gmail.com, if you join in on Discord, you can send a personal message and give me some feedback of some previous shows as well. So one of the things that I'm going to talk about today is an old documentary that was produced back in 2001. Now, the name of this documentary is Revolution OS. And if you haven't seen this and you are an open source advocate, or you are someone who enjoys maybe technology history or enjoy learning about the Free Software Foundation or the Free Software Movement, this documentary is really great. It talks about the uprising of Linux in basically a Microsoft world, and how the open source sort of philosophy came to be alongside the rising of the Free Software Foundation and the Free Software Movement. It talks a lot about the GNU project and Linus Torvalds. And if you have not seen this video, it is absolutely great. And even though it was produced in 2001, I think a lot of it still holds a lot of its value, even in 2019. Now, the cast in this is sort of unbelievable. First of all, Linus Torvalds is in that. He's the creator of Linux. Richard Stallman, founder of the GNU project, in it. You have Eric Raymond, who is an author. Bruce Perens, who defined the term open source and gave it an actual definition. And various co-founders, employees of various Linux or open source businesses. A former Netscape system engineer is in this. The list goes on and on. They talk about things like the start of Red Hat Linux, Linux user groups at the time. And it's really kind of a neat thing. And I just want to play one short clip of Revolution OS. And this is a clip of Richard Stallman receiving an award from the Linus Torvalds Foundation. And he's accepting an award on behalf of the GNU project. So if you're listening in the Discord room, which happens to be, I'm happy to be recording or talking there as well, you might not hear this, so you'll see it on the final project.
See, what happened is, 15 years ago, if you wanted to use a computer, the only way you could do it was with proprietary software, software that divides and subjugates the users. And most people just, a lot of people didn't like it, but they saw no alternative. But some of us were determined to make an alternative, and we said we're going to develop a free operating system, a free software operating system that will give users the chance to have freedom while they use their computers. Now, a lot of people said, well, it's a nice idea, but it's so hard, we'll never get it done, so I don't want to participate. I don't believe you can ever get it done. But luckily, not everybody said that. And clearly, we knew we would eventually get the kernel done. But as it happens, somebody else did a better kernel before we did. Now, in the old days, we had an overall strategy for calling people's attention to the importance of freedom, to the freedom that they can have or not have when they use a computer. Well, what can we do about it? As far as I can tell, the only workable way of trying to change this and make that strategy work again is to spread the word that the operating system you're using is actually the GNU system, somewhat modified, of course. And when people know this, they'll take a look at the reasons we developed this system, they'll think about these issues, and some of them will decide they agree. So I ask people, please tell people this is the GNU system. It's the combination of GNU and Linux, so we can call it GNU/Linux.
So the clip I just played, you may have heard some laughing in the background as he was giving this, accepting this award. The laughing was actually nothing to do with what was being said. Linus Torvalds' children were running around the stage, and they were very young, and so they were sort of taking the spotlight there as that speech was being given. But the speech was basically talking about the GNU project and the Linux kernel being formed and forming this open source software. Getting a community involved, building a community based off of the principles of open source and why it was so important. And I think that really holds true today. Linux has grown in unbelievable ways since 2001. Now, I've only been using it a relatively short period of time. You've been using it about 10 years or so. And in that amount of time, Linux has grown tremendously. So looking back at something that once started very small, Revolution OS talks about how in basically putting these pieces together, and 6 months later, they were having conferences filled with people. It's quite unbelievable on just how fast that moved. So in today's episode, I want to talk about, you know, in the past episodes in the last few weeks and months, I've talked about the Free Software Foundation, their values. I've talked about the open source philosophy and what it means. I've talked about the community aspect of it. And I've talked about moving full-time to recording this podcast on Linux. And I've talked about hardware that I really like that's running well, running Linux very well. So I'm going to start with the good things that I really like about Linux. So here's what I've always liked about Linux. Okay. I enjoy not being someone who is like everybody else. I like being my own individual person. I like to try different things. I like to do things differently. And Linux sort of filled that gap for me. And it really appealed to me because I could tinker with it. I could learn. I could tear away pieces. I could break my whole system and figure out how to fix it. And so from a creative person's mind frame, from being a completely noob at Linux, not knowing anything about it, I built myself up to where I consider myself a power user now and not someone who is incredibly amazing and knows everything about Linux. But I do get around quite well through the system. And the things that I really like about it is once you sort of get past the first stages of it being different than Windows or different than Mac, and you start to learn the system, you start to appreciate the things that it has to offer. I appreciate the open source philosophy. I appreciate how the whole community gets together and builds all of these different Linux distributions, and communities will help each other out and give back upstream to the larger communities. And so many changes can be made that way so fast that you feel like you're on sort of the bleeding edge of getting the latest and greatest software, which I don't always need, but it's fun. Depending on which Linux distro you use, certain things are built for certain tasks. So you can get a Linux distro for amateur radio, or you can get a distro for audio and video production, or you can build your own distro if you'd like, or you can just have a stable system that's not going to change much over the 10 years that it's meant to be installed on. From supercomputers all the way down to Internet of Things devices, Linux can run on it. So we all know the great things. Now I want to talk about some of the things that I think need improvement with Linux. The first thing that I think needs improving upon is, because everyone is so community focused, everybody is doing this sort of in their spare time, or they are sort of put together in small groups, depending on what distro. The larger distributions, like say Ubuntu or Debian, or name your Linux distro of choice that you like to use, I believe these larger companies should be putting out advertising online. You know, the Linux Foundation taking in who knows how much from sponsors like Microsoft and Google, they should take at least a small portion of that and be advertising on TV or online in new places. The reason I say that is because a lot of people still don't know about Linux. And if we want Linux to go mainstream, which I sort of want to talk about, getting Linux to go mainstream on personal computers, then people have to know about it and realize that it's not as difficult as you think it might be. So advertising, I don't ever think I've seen an ad for a Linux distribution on TV. And even if we just start advertising one or two, that gets people interested in wanting to use it. The idea of the free and open software philosophies, they need to be part of that advertising as well. That it's not just about free software, and that free software doesn't mean bad software or software that isn't good enough, because in many cases it is. And if you use it long enough, a lot of times it's easier to use this free and open software than it is actual proprietary software. So I think that communication needs to happen. So getting to the idea that getting the word out, and people need to talk about Linux. And the more people talk about Linux, the more podcasts there are, the more people talk about it in social media, that type of thing, I believe that adoption will spread. And it has been over the last 10 years that I've noticed. When I first started using Linux, nobody in my area really knew what Linux was. Or I shouldn't say nobody, but a very small group of people did. And now it's sort of a word that people understand. They may not be quite sure exactly what it is, but a lot of people really at least know the term at this point in time. So that's one of my sort of beefs with using a free and open system, is that somebody has to take the reins and advertise for everyone else. And I believe the money should be out there. I mean, I know a lot of money goes into development, into kernel and various resources, software development, but somebody somewhere has to take charge and start advertising so that people out there in their home devices start using it. I mean, many, many people out there have older computers that ran Windows XP. You could revive that old machine and have a very modern distro for that lightweight hardware. So that's just one aspect of it. What else would I like to see as far as making Linux better? I'd like to see better video editors. Now, Kdenlive is my video editor of choice. It's still a little cumbersome to use, and I'm getting used to using it. And I've never had it crash on me. I've heard stories of it crashing. My video editing skills and needs are very light, so I don't need a whole lot. But boy, I would love to see just really powerful, really rock solid video editors that are free and open source. That's one thing that I would love to see. From a musician's point of view, I would really love to see Linux working well with audio production gear. And I know in a lot of cases you can get a mixer to work by plugging it in. I'm talking about full range live productions where you can connect soundboards to your computer. You can record the software very easily. You can also run tablets that control the mixers remotely, running on Linux, because a lot of times you need to have a computer attached. Some of the newer mixers, you don't need to do that, but it would be great to see that happening on Linux. It'd be great to have more interaction where I could plug in a device like an iPhone have better interactions. Now, that's not a flaw of Linux itself. That is Apple, or that is the companies from these particular mixers, audio mixers, wanting to provide the software to be able to do this. So it's not on Linux. So this really isn't a Linux fault. This is the companies wanting and having to spend money to do this. Now, more than ever now, it's becoming easier and easier and easier to port software to Linux. And things like Snappacks are making it easy to get software on Linux when you're creating something that's cross-platform. There's other ways to do that depending on which programming language you're using. It's becoming easier. So the question to me is, when is Linux going to become a mainstream thing? And that really is a tough question, because if you look at what Linux is now compared to what it was in the 90s, Linux is mainstream. You have Linux running on supercomputers, Internet of Things devices, really small devices. You have Linux running on Chromebooks. You have Linux running on Android devices. You have Linux just about everywhere, and nobody really realizes it. The only place that it really hasn't taken off is home computing. So the reason for that, I think it just comes down to advertising. And if people realize they had a choice, more people would want demand. Maybe people would start researching what it is that they actually want to do. Most people's use is just web browsing. Linux can do that just great. So I don't think in terms of just the home computing. I think of overall, mainstream-wise, Linux has completely dominated everything. 95% of all the servers on the internet are running Linux at this point in time. So we got to take care of a few different things when it comes to personal computing. There are still things that are quite frustrating, and this is mentioned in the Discord room. Morton said that Bluetooth and USB storage still make him feel like a beta tester. Bluetooth has always been an issue for me on Linux too. I don't use Bluetooth a whole awful lot, but yeah, sometimes it's kind of a pain to get the Bluetooth working correctly. Although even now I've seen vast improvements with that when I'm using an actual computer that's got parts internally built to run well with Linux. So yeah, there's little things here and there. The thing to keep in mind, though, is no operating system is perfect. You know, Windows has its issues. Mac definitely has its issues. Even if you are an Apple fanboy, you're probably going to admit that you run into issues when you try to do certain things on Mac. So Linux is also going to have its issues as well. So I don't think that these little issues are what's stopping Linux from being adopted locally on home computers. I think that in recent years, you've seen companies, more and more companies producing hardware for Linux. We have Dell now selling Linux laptops, major companies out there selling Linux laptops. It's out there. You just have to find it. And we need advocates to talk about it. And that's the reason why I like to talk about it so much. I like to advocate for something that, you know, if I can convince one person to try Linux, they might try it for a while and it might work great for them. And usually I'm very upfront with people and say, what are your needs? How do you start to make that transition from, say, Windows to Linux or from Mac to Linux? And it all starts by starting to use open source software on your original computer, you know, whether it's Firefox or Audacity for recording audio, or if you are looking for someone to try video editing, try an open source video editor rather than paying for it, and just start using the software first. Use GIMP for photo editing. I believe there's Darkroom as well. So all these things you start with on Windows, and then you realize you don't need Windows after a while. And if you want a faster, more secure computer, Linux is your choice. It doesn't really get much better than using Linux. So it's a learning curve just like anything else. And here's where Linux gets ugly, in my opinion. We talked about the good, talked about the bad. Let's talk about the ugly. So if you are not someone who is all that tech savvy, it, you know, used to be where you might need somebody to sort of be your go-to IT guy for help, you know, to get your system repaired if you needed it. That has changed somewhat, and things have become easier over the last 10 years, in my opinion, probably the last 20 years, as far as repairing your own system goes, if you know the right software for backing up your system. You know, if you're using something like TimeShift, TimeShift saved me from a completely destroyed system. From in December, I had a live USB that went wonky on me for some reason, and I couldn't boot into my system. TimeShift saved me because I had my stuff backed up. So having a good backup is important. But the more that you use it, the more you realize it's pretty stable. And if you're using a long-term support rather than something that changes daily, I've done both. I've done bleeding edge software distros where updates are constantly coming. And quite honestly, it ran just as stable as LTS sometimes. But if you're looking for just a rock solid machine that's not going to cause any problems, you can get that. And I think it's really something to be noted about Linux. I don't know how many times I fixed somebody's Windows computer when an update went wrong. I've never really had that problem with Linux. Could be luck. It could be just knowing the system and working my way around it, knowing what to do and when to do it. That can be a little scary and a little ugly for some people. A lot of people don't like digging into a terminal. You don't really have to dig into a terminal or a command line very often anymore in Linux. And you can find graphical ways to do things. So as far as ugly goes, in some cases, you will have a community of people that are really willing to help you out. In other cases, you're having communities that want you to go read the documentation but can be quite rude about it, just like anything else. I mean, take amateur radio, for example. You have lots of people out there that are really nice people that are really willing to help you out. And then you have people that are just, egomaniacs, and they don't really want to help you out. They want you to abide by all the rules. They want you to make sure you're following everything. But if you ask them for help, they don't know enough to help you out. So a divided community is something that can be pretty ugly for somebody coming in new. And the more that I think about it, the finding the right desktop environment, finding the right software that goes along, making sure, yes, you can run KDE software in GNOME, probably not going to have a whole lot of issues, but as time goes on, those packages build up. And if you're running GNOME and KDE and XFCE and the Cinnamon desktops all in one machine, you're bound to have some problems. Now, picking a desktop of choice, there are great starter Linux distros. I like Linux Mint. I like Ubuntu Mate. I like Ubuntu in general for a starter distro. They let you just get into the Linux atmosphere. They get you started, but they don't let you see under the hood a whole lot unless you want to. So I think those are great starter distros for anybody looking to get into Linux. Just a real wide range of options, a wide range of software, wide ranges of community with a wide range of people. That can be pretty ugly, pretty scary if you're a person that ends up in a wrong place and you're not really sure what to do. So, but all in all, it's not as bad as it seems. And if you give it a try and you stick with it, you'll find that it's a lot more fun to use Linux than other systems. There are problems. You can't run Windows software on Linux. You can't run Mac software on Linux. You can, to some extent, using Wine, which is a recursive acronym for Wine is not an emulator. It's sort of an emulator that runs Windows software. You can have some luck running Windows software. I personally have never gotten anything to work right in Wine at all, ever. And that's usually because when I want to run Windows software, it's something unique that I only need to use once and then I'll never use it again. But it's a change of pace. It's a change. It's a complete left turn from what most people are used to. And if you take that turn, you will reap the benefits from it. So that's my talk on the good, the bad, the ugly of Linux. And just like anything else, you're going to run into some issues here and there in your learning curve. But sticking with it, trying it out, and having somebody willing to help you out is important. But overall, I think anybody out there who's got an old laptop, give it a try. And if you have any questions, contact me either on Discord. You can send me a direct message. You can email me, mrptechreviews@gmail.com. Love to hear from you. And I can help you get started on Linux if you'd like. I'd be willing to help you out. So that's going to do it for this week's episode. What are your thoughts on Linux and mainstream? Why do you think that Linux hasn't become adopted more in the home? Or do you think that Linux is mainstream now? Everybody's using Chromebooks. Everybody's using Android tablets. That seems like adoption to me. So what do you think? I'd love to hear some feedback on this as well. Before I go, go check out Revolution OS. That is a great documentary, even if you're not a Linux user. I will warn you that there are some very well-known people in the open source community. They are very passionate about what they do, so they like to talk and talk passionately about what they do. And at the very end, there is the worst song I've ever heard in my entire life. It's the Richard Stallman's Free Software song, played by probably a band of office members of some company somewhere at some party. I have no idea why they played it in the video. It would have been an amazing documentary without this song at the end. But I cringed when I heard this song, and it's quite entertaining. I understand it completely as a musician that it's just a bunch of guys get together and singing this Free Software song, but it was cringeworthy. And apparently I'm not the only one that's ever thought that. So I was happy to know that. It's fun to watch though. So this documentary, Revolution OS, you can find it on YouTube from 2001. Go check it out. Thanks to PodNuts for producing the show every week. Check out all the other great shows there. Check out my website, mrptechreviews.com. And that's going to do it for this week. Thanks everybody for watching. We will see you next time.